Blog Talk Radio.
My calculations are correct. When this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're gonna see some serious sh-
Travis Hobson of the Punch Drunk Critics and Examiner.com, and I'm with you today for a kind of a special episode. We've been so jam-packed with interviews and stuff like that over the last couple of weeks that we just simply can't fit them all into our Sunday show. So I thought, well, we both thought that it'd be a good idea to just kind of, fill you in on some of the stuff that we've got going on. And one of the interviews that we had over the last couple of weeks was with Craig Zobel. Craig Zobel is the writer and director of the new film Compliance, a very controversial new film that really caused quite a stir at the Sundance Film Festival this year. I tried to get into it at the event, and I couldn't get in. But basically, the film... it's a very disturbing story based in reality, and it's about this series of crimes where they're prank calls. Somebody calls into an establishment, a restaurant, or something like that, pretends to be a cop, and proceeds to manipulate the people that he's speaking to over the phone into doing really nasty things to somebody at the restaurant. And he uses it, and basically the caller uses his presumed authority as the reason for why he's asking them to do this. And you'd be surprised by how many people fall for it. There's something like 80 plus cases of this happening around the country. But the film has caused quite a bit of controversy, people walking out, people not being able to finish the movie. You know, it's just, it forces you to think about what you would do in a similar situation. So I had a chance to talk to Craig about the film and get his opinion on all of that, what he's got in projects he's got in the works, and just basically how the production for Compliance went. So let's go to that interview now. It's a very good interview. It's about 15 minutes long, so I hope you enjoy it. Hey, Craig, how you doing?
Hey, Travis, how are you, man?
I'm good. Thanks for calling in, man. I'm really excited to talk to you about Compliance.
Nice. Well, great.
Yeah, great. I remember when I was at Sundance, there was a lot of people buzzing about it, but I just could not get in to see it. So I was really excited to finally have the opportunity to see it just a few days ago.
Oh, excellent. Yeah. That's
funny.
Yeah, cool.
So how did that...
I suppose that's a good thing, you know?
Like, it was a very good thing. It was a very good thing. So how did the film come about? Where did you first hear about it, about the events that took place?
You know, the events happened like over a 10-year period, and there was one in Georgia that I'm from Atlanta, Georgia, and I remember there was an event in Hinesville, Georgia that I vaguely kind of remembered, but I honestly discovered it way after these things had happened, and I discovered it when I was reading about the Milgram experiments, Stanley Milgram's obedience experiments,
mm-hmm.
and I was really fascinated with those, and when reading about those, they kind of point to this as they kind of cite these as some people cite these as you know, real life examples in a way.
Yeah.
So I kind of came across, and there was like there's a lot of journalists that already kind of like really analyzed everything about the film, but I felt that there was what I kind of was met with the movie was this personal feeling of like, oh, you know, I immediately thought of myself as a person who would never do this. And then I started questioning why it was that I immediately went to such a strong reaction like that, such a strong, like that's not me. And whenever that kind of happens, that's usually a good sign, or at least in my life, I've kind of started to recognize that as like a good sign that there's a little bit of bullshit, you know, involved.
right.
that like you're kind of like avoiding something. And so I was just interested in like what all of the human behaviors were like inside of the incident, not necessarily like, you know, kind of like facts, but the behaviors was what I was fascinated about.
It's interesting that you mentioned the Milgram experiment, because it was the very first thing I wrote in my review was about the Milgram experiment, because that's exactly the first thing I thought of when I was
really writing. That's great.
Exactly.
I actually
exactly
quote
that.
The Milgram. I quoted in the movie. You know, like there's lines where it's things that were part of the script that the scientists would say, or the, you know, experimenters would say. Things like, it's my responsibility, you know, like, this isn't your responsibility, like, I take full credit for this, like, all you have to do is kind of, like, you know, finish doing what I'm kind of advising you to do.
Right, it's the buzzword. The buzzwords that he would use to sort of encourage their continued, you know, participation are exactly what's in the experiment. It's true. But how did you, because my mind just drew a blank on me. I forgot the name of the last film that you had done, your first film.
Great World of Sound, yeah.
Thank you. And this movie has obviously gained a lot of buzz and attention. So, I mean, did you have any problems getting this film financed or anything like that?
You know, I feel like the kind of classic indie story would be for me to say yes, but it was super hard, but it was interestingly, like, it came together really fast in this case. We pretty quickly had people, I think, that saw that it was a pretty compelling thing to be talking about, and so a lot less so. I mean, almost in some ways, it was also a scary movie to make as just a director. It's like, you know, like, this is a movie that's going to kind of it's going to make you be a guy who made that movie. So I think that if it had been a thing that I was like walking around for 4 or 5 years trying to get the money for, I probably wouldn't have had the stomach for it. I really think that the fact that people immediately found my argument as compelling and interesting as I did was the only way we really could have gotten it on the screen, or I would have chickened out, I think.
There was something like 70 or 80 cases of this sort of prank that went on in the country over a certain period of time. How did you pick the one that you were going to, you know, really base your story on? Because there are a lot of variations on it.
There were a lot of variations, but there are also a lot of similarities. And it's like, really, like, I tried to kind of, like, look at things that were similar, you know, in multiple cases, and try to keep those as sort of the like main things that I was like focused on, and to be specific, and you know, like the guy was always a police officer. He was always, you know, there was multiple ones where there was an accusation of like the employee having stolen money. And like these kind of big sort of tentpole events along the call, like over the course of this phone call, were things that I like, you know, picked out and was kind of like interested in. And I mean, and then as far as like certain details, I had to, you know, find things that would like give me a way to kind of look at all of the different facets of decision making. Really, like that was kind of I was the most interested in the fact that there was sort of more than one. There was a lot of people making kind of very small, strange choices, all of which were like not helping stop it. You know,
right.
And it was like looking for kind of avenues to study that, I guess.
One of the things I found, I think, probably the most unsettling about it is the very kind of detached nature of the way you shoot it. And you don't really, there's no real like theatrics to the movie. You don't seem to really go into it and make it any more insane than it already is. You know what I mean? Did you? Yeah. Was that a conscious effort on your part, or did you cut some stuff out that maybe went a little over the edge?
Kind of both. It was definitely a conscious effort to do that. That was like the I was I was thinking of it as if I was, you know, like just looking impartially at all of these people make these crazy decisions and trying to make sure that the human behaviors like behind them all seemed like things that I recognized and that I like knew some version of, you know?
Right.
And at the same time, like in the editing room, there was definitely some scenes that even though that was the kind of plan, there are still some scenes that I felt like were kind of too much that we did take out still. But not a whole lot, honestly, but there was some, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How did you find the cast? Because I thought Ann Dowd was absolutely fantastic in this movie, and Dreama Walker also. How did you come about finding them for this movie? Because I imagine it must have been pretty hard to find just the right people for a film like this.
Absolutely. It was difficult, and it's one of those funny things where it's like, you know, they have to be people that are interested in the movie.
Right.
They're interested
right.
in all the same stuff, you know? Because, like, the truth of it is, it's like, this wasn't made for enough money to, like, make anybody rich just by acting in it. So everybody was doing this because they were fascinated and interested in the reasons that I was interested in making the movie. So that kind of helped in a way because it sort of narrowed down the field. It's like, these are people that all see this as interesting, believable, playable, behavior, and like once you're kind of talking in that language, like, and those people like feel like that, it's like, you know, they're going to do their best to try to show that, you know. But
yeah.
Really specifically, like, you know, Anne had been in a play that I saw that I thought was amazing, called Blood from a Stone, that's played opposite Ethan Hawke, and she was just great. She's worked in film forever, I had seen her on in the theater and was really blown away by her. And Dreama, you know, she had been working in different roles in television mostly, but had come in, was very much identified with the job thought that she could, I would say not identified with the job, but
right.
like identified with like the yeah that's like
yeah considering what happens in the movie that was
right but she identified with like the kind of like curiosity that I had about why these people would go to these degrees and have that same curiosity and was really like the right person for the role, you know. She just was great.
I'm curious, what do you think would drive people to do kind of the things that happened in this movie? Did you come to any conclusions about that yourself while making the movie?
I guess I came to the conclusion honestly, I didn't fully come to any conclusions. That's why it's been so great to have it get out there in the world and have people see it, because I really do think that I was kind of asking questions, and it's been great to hear some people's critique and
right.
you know, exploration of it, because it's been like, oh yes, that is exactly what I meant. I didn't, you know, it didn't occur to me that way. As far as a general conclusion, I definitely do think that it's, you know, somewhat easy for us to, especially when an authority figure asks us to do something, it's very easy to get a false read, you know, kind of feel like you have to do it, and I suppose like I that was really what my curiosity was, and that's kind of what I still feel that's believable. It's funny, everyone in the whole world who sees the movie, I think, will always put themselves in the camp of, I would never do that.
Yeah, I had to, when I was watching it, I had to stop myself from hating everybody like really quickly. because you know, you look at it and it's like, okay, I would never fall for this. I would never, but you know, we walk into it from a different perspective than they do, obviously. But you look at it and you think, I would never fall for this. But obviously, this is something that that isn't an isolated incident. So there's something right. about the human brain that makes even intelligent people, because these aren't dumb characters, and you know,
I totally agree. Yeah,
yeah. We I think it's easy to label them as stupid or gullible, but I don't necessarily see that in any of these characters.
I really took pains to try to avoid that, you know, anything that would make them look dumb. I didn't feel like that was what this was about at all. Like, I didn't relate to that at all. I felt like it was very much something that could happen. And, you know, it goes back to kind of my first reaction was so strong of the same thing. I was like, I would never do that. That, you know, I ultimately had to admit to myself that was condescending. You know, like, that was me looking down my nose. I think, in a way, to distance myself from the fact that this is something that I do think is, like, part of right. us as humans, you know?
Right. Have you had an opportunity to watch the film in the theater with an audience? Because, I mean, I've heard some, you know, stories of people being so unnerved by it that they haven't been able to make it all the way through.
Yeah, people, it's become sort of a normal occurrence for some amount of the people to walk out and leave, absolutely. And, you know, that has been its own whole kind of, like, I truly am like, isn't that fascinating? Because, like for some of, you know, it, maybe that's just me sort of cushioning myself from you know, the person who made the movie, for the people that can't sit through the entire thing, you know. But I think that there's something important in that. I think in some ways, you know, this is certainly, I knew the whole time that this was not going to be a movie that was for everybody, and nor do I think that every person in the world, like, if you ask me a question like, should every person in America see this movie? I would say, I don't know if that's true.
Right.
You know, like,
right.
But I do wonder that of the people that kind of have had that reaction, have left, walked out early. So some of those people, I think, are people who didn't know what really the movie was before they went
right.
through it and kind of ended up there. You know, we're not really into the audience, or had they known more, wouldn't have even put themselves in that position. But I think that other people, they just reject the movie because it bothers them. It bothers them, and then what bothers them about it is something that ultimately goes back to everything I think that we're still talking about, which is some amount of struggling to deal with being honest with yourself about your relationship with authority.
Yeah, you know? I totally agree. I think it's a very challenging film, and I don't think everybody's, you know, walks in prepared for that sort of experience all the time. So I definitely agree with what you're saying. Obviously, this has been a big hit for you so far. You know, everybody seems to love the film. So what's next for you? I mean, I heard that you're going to be doing this movie with Tobey Maguire coming up.
Yeah,
for Zachariah. Are you excited about that?
I am very excited about that. I'm kind of actively, like, working on it every second that I'm not doing a Q&A for this film. And I'm super excited. It's a totally different thing. And, you know, your head is in something like compliance, which is hopefully a thought-provoking, you know, piece for people. And, like, part of my job, I feel like, is to, like, be there to kind of facilitate the discussion as much as, you know, people want me or whatnot. But it's a emotionally you know, consuming.
Right.
to live in the world of compliance every day. So I'm excited to work on Z for Zechariah, which is a completely different type of project. It's a love story, and it still I think has a nuance to it and different there's stuff that's really interesting and not black and white about this story, but it's really a different thing. So I'm excited to kind of just get to do that, and I can't wait to start.
Thinking about bringing anybody back from this movie to be in that one, maybe?
It's an interesting thing about that movie is that there are not that many roles.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sort of a love triangle that takes place at the end of the world.
Right.
And literally the triangle is about all there is. So I don't know if how many people I'll be able to squeeze in that one, but I definitely will work with everybody who is in compliance again.
Awesome.
To a person, I will work with all of them again, and I plan on it. In fact, and actually, Dreema Walker, who's also a really gifted comedian, has tasked me with figuring out a comedy that we can all be in.
Nice. I definitely pay to see that. All right, man. I really appreciate you calling in. It's been a great talking to you. And I hope nothing but success for the film down the road. I believe it comes out here in D.C. this weekend. So getting the word out on that one, man. Good job.
Awesome. Thank you, man. Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for calling in.
Bye.
All right, that was my interview with Craig Zobel, a great guy, very insightful on the process and on his thoughts on the type of people who both have rejected the film in a way and those who have come to really be enthralled by it, like myself. So anyway, Compliance is now playing here in D.C. It's out in limited release around the country. I suggest if it's anywhere near you that you go and check it out for yourself. But thanks a lot. I appreciate you tuning in for this interview. We'll have more interviews like this throughout the week. Actually, tomorrow we'll be playing an interview with Matt Bondurant, the director of Lawless, which stars Tom Hardy and Shia LaBeouf. That movie comes out this weekend as well. You'll be able to find a review of that later tonight on my examiner.com page. I suggest you go there and subscribe. Tomorrow, the review will also be up on Punch Drunk Critics. This Sunday, we'll not only be reviewing Lawless, we'll also be having some highlights from an interview I conducted with Ari Grainer and Leslie Miller from the movie For a Good Time Call, the phone sex comedy that comes out this week. I saw it at Sundance, and they're very enthusiastic about the film. So be sure to tune in for that as well. But thank you for tuning in here. I appreciate it. I will talk to you tomorrow.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
I'm not great at farewell, so that'll do, pig.
That's the worst goodbye I've ever heard. And you stole it from a movie.